Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The short story, the matter of fact, is I grew up in Compton, California. I was born a Raider. I was born with the Raiders rolling in the Coliseum in L.A. I was rolling with NWA, talking straight out of Compton, rocking Raider hats. So when the opportunity came to work with Josh and Pat Graham and Dave, I jumped on it. So that's what set me up for this. I was born this way.
Antonio Pierce, interim head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Crazy day yesterday, Chris. Rolled out of bed, saw some text messages from Miles Simmons and others who work with us at PFT, and my eyes would not accept, my brain would not process what we were seeing. Big changes for the Raiders, and by the end of the day, it was Pierce, Champ Kelly, Mark Davis explaining why he did what he did, somehow tying it to the trade deadline, which makes no sense whatsoever, but not much of it makes a whole lot of sense when you consider the bigger picture. My big takeaway yesterday was simply, if you're going to import the Patriot way, you got to give it time. You got to give it time. You got to know on the way in it's going to take time. And it's just weird that Mark Davis pulled the plug. He never should have hired Josh McDaniels if he wasn't prepared to give him time to try to replicate the Bill Belichick approach to football.
Yeah, and no, I mean, good morning. Yeah, no, I mean, we've talked about that a ton, remember? I mean, that was something I was beating the table for last year when people were calling for Josh McDaniels. You got to give it time. But I think also what plays into that, and I was shocked like you. Now, I had somebody that texted me the night, let's see, what night was that? So that was Tuesday night, basically saying, is that right? Yeah, Tuesday night, that they thought, yep, Josh was in trouble, right? That's the text I got. Now, I took that as like, oh, yeah, he's in trouble. They lose another game or two or three or whatever. Maybe he's not going to make it out of the year, or, you know, the year and the way it's going, he's not going to make it, you know, much into the offseason, as soon as the season's over. So I was shocked like you when I first woke up and went, what? It's like official, like he was in trouble like that, like holy cow, they cut him, I mean they fired him already. So I was surprised, and of course, yeah, I second what you say there about, you know, the New England way, and it takes a while to build a roster and a team they want to. I also can understand some of Mark Davis's frustrations. We talked about this on Tuesday. They're a team that's in no man's land, absolutely no man's land. It's kind of like they're kind of just good enough to – they're going to beat some of the teams they should, and they're going to get like the number 12th pick in the draft and not really be able to get a quarterback and things like that we kind of – discuss then. You know, I think you look at some of the moves they made on their roster, all that, the direction of the team, and then, you know, just the optics of the fact that they went to the playoffs the year before he got there. I mean, they got lucky to get in that year, if you really look at it, and who they played and the quarterbacks they played at the end of the season. But either way, those optics certainly went against McDaniels. And, you know, I played for Josh. I worked for Josh a little. It doesn't make me happy to see this day here, that's for sure.
Some of the different theories and ideas that I've been kicking around, and Miles Simmons and I talked about it some yesterday, and I addressed it on the PFTPM podcast, and I've written items about it. Mark Davis, the common thread to 12 years of just kind of what are they doing, and he's the guy making these decisions. Who's he getting his advice from? I'd love to know. We never will know,
yeah,
presumably, but I'd love to know what Tom Brady's involvement was in any of this, because this is a guy who is still waiting for final approval. Although it may never come, he may never get a chance to buy 10% of the team at a 70% discount. Owners haven't approved it yet, and I don't think they're going to unless this deal gets redone in some way. But he's already got that relationship with Mark Davis through his involvement in the Las Vegas Aces, two-time WNBA champions. There's a friendship there. There's a collaboration there. I'd love to know, was a call made to Tom Brady? Did he know what was going on? Did he give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to the termination of a guy that he has a very close working relationship with and has had a lot of success with? And on that point of Brady, you know, I said yesterday that the Patriot way possibly just doesn't work anywhere in football anymore, that you can't find a locker room full of highly talented football players who will surrender who they are, will submit to almost a little mini military, a little mini militia, where the coach is completely in charge and you do whatever he says, all the way down to what you will and won't say to the media. You know how just they have those guys under their thumb in New England. Like, I don't think that works anymore. And I think the only reason it worked for 20 years is because Tom Brady was on board with it and he was great. Without him, I don't think the Patriot way ever gets off the ground, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly helped it. I know that. I mean, yeah, I think the Patriot way, you know, the Bill Parcells way, it takes a quarterback that's going to be selfless and, you know, take getting yelled at and, you know, mother effed at times and going to still have a smile and go, let's go to work and set the good example there. Yeah, it was the perfect storm of things, right? I mean, yes, I think you can look at that, you know, in a lot of cases and go, I don't know if it would have worked if it didn't have this there. I mean, Belichick, of course, set things up in a way that were special, and he did some great things. But, yeah, they also, I mean, I think to your point, we were still kind of old school 20 years ago. The world has changed a little bit. The way the game is played has totally changed. That's where I think the Patriot way maybe has not lasted the test of time here into the, you know, the 20s or this decade here. I think there's a lot that goes into that. But, you know, Brady, of course, was a huge part of that. But I still think, you know, again, if you're going to get into that discussion of Brady was more important than Belichick, I'm not going to agree with you there. But it did help a lot to have a leader like that, let alone guys that were there already from the Parcells regime that could bring that all together, whether it was Teddy Bruschi or some of the other guys as well. I just think it all matched up at the right time. And, you know, what do they say? It's you know, timing is everything. And I think that was one that certainly fits true there.
I'm not saying Brady was more important than Belichick. I'm saying Belichick never gets anywhere without Brady, that none of this works without a great quarterback. And look what's happened since you've removed a great quarterback from the mix in New England. And look at the failures of all of the other Belichick lieutenants who have gone elsewhere. You don't have a great quarterback, it's not going to work. So you got to have a great quarterback who goes along with it, just like the way your dad went along with Parcells and understood Parcells was going to rip him from time to time. I think that's part of it. You have to have a guy who can play at a high level, who's willing to play that role of, I get ripped harder than anybody else,
yeah,
and everybody else falls in line. Yes, sir, no, sir. And again, it doesn't work today. My point is it never would have worked without a Tom Brady or someone like Tom Brady who helps that offense go and really holds everything else together. Not that he's more important. He's indispensable.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
If you
don't have the great quarterback.
I don't disagree. I mean, we can go through all of them like that, right? I could go, well, I don't know if Chuck Knoll and the Pittsburgh Steelers would be the same without, you know, Terry Bradshaw. And, you know, I don't know what Bill Walsh would be if he didn't have Joe Montana there and do that. I mean, I hear you there. I do. And I think
Steve Young.
What's that? What's that?
Hey. Steve Young. Well, they would have found somebody.
I hear you there, you know, but like I've said, you know, Brady was awesome. I get that. But the first three Super Bowls, we talked about this before, the game wasn't about Brady. I mean, they ran the ball and they played defense and they asked Tom to, you know, manage the game the right way. And then it grew to something else from there where it went to a whole nother level. And then Brady became, you know, more and more comfortable and they started to go, whoa, the way the rules have changed and everything like that with defense and pass interference, they went all in on the passing game. But, yeah, I think, you know, to what that does too with a guy like Brady, is, you know, all the other guys, whether it's Edelman's, the Welkers, those guys that are kind of made from the same cloth a little bit, where it's just like we're gym rats, we're football players with all that. Brady is the perfect leader for that type of group because he was that. So therefore, it kind of permeated through the rest of the football team, and I think that's where, you know, it was a match made in heaven.
And in contrast, the guy to whom Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels pinned their hope was Jimmy Garoppolo, who, I mean, look, I saw somebody suggest yesterday that if they had known what was going to go on, maybe the Vikings should have called for Garoppolo to trade for him. Garoppolo, as we discussed on Tuesday, he's not mobile. He can't process. He's not accurate on a consistent basis, and he's hurt all the time. So this isn't the guy to build your team around, and that was the flaw. And I saw something that you said. I didn't watch the clip. I apologize.
That's okay.
I saw that you, on your podcast, were talking about how the draft this year was somehow instrumental in what ultimately happened. Give us the Reader's Digest version of your take in that regard.
Well,
I'm curious about
that. Well, I think you heard me, you know, talk about it a little bit on Tuesday. I think I've even hit it on it in a few other weeks, right? Where I get back to, you know, one, yeah, the Jimmy Garoppolo situation, I think you're spot on, is certainly part of why McDaniels got fired. I mean, again, as we all know, as the NFL knows, I mean, Garoppolo and the agent got over on the Raiders and McDaniels who trusted him, right? So that was the first little issue. But, you know, my thing is, I don't think they got Jimmy Garoppolo and were like, oh, wait, we're good at quarterback, right? I think they're people around football, people I talked to there with the Raiders, you know, way before the draft. I think they thought, hey, we got options and we're going to be able to get one of these young quarterbacks too. And I think there was a real thought of like, hey, we got Jimmy Garoppolo. He could be the bridge guy because we're going to have a guy that we're going to draft. Now, they obviously didn't get one and obviously didn't like Will Levis to take him at pick number 7. They liked the three other guys, I guess. But, you know, I think that is where you do that type of move, and now it's, oh, no, we're stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo, who has an injury history, hasn't played as well as people think he has. He's just been on a really good football team, right? And now we have no future or no bright light for the fans to look at and go, whoa, hey, we got him coming down the pipe here, and I like that quarterback with McDaniels, and McDaniels is going to groom him, and we saw what he did with Mac Jones. And that didn't happen, and I think that leads us a little bit to where we are, or at least a big part of it, because they're just, as we said Tuesday, they're in no man's land. It just doesn't seem any way to remedy to flip this whole organization and roster over to get some serious blue chip talented players on it.
And I think you throw on top of that the fact that on Monday night, the Raiders witnessed what Jahmyr Gibbs has been able to do, and they could have had him. Right? They get who'd they get? Who'd they draft?
They drafted Tyree Wilson, the kid from Texas Tech.
Tyree Wilson. Yeah. Right? The fact that the name is not coming to mind immediately is an indictment on the fact that he really hasn't done much for the team this year. They could have had Jahmyr Gibbs, and they saw what Jahmyr Gibbs was able to do. The whole Josh Jacobs situation was mishandled. There's so many things we can point to.
There really is.
As if you're inclined to make a move, you can bolster the case by saying, look at this, look at this, look at this. My loose hypothesis also is, Chris, piggybacking off of your point that they were eyeing one of the young quarterbacks, I think they were hoping maybe a C.J. Stroud would slide. Nick Caserio would get knocked wobbly by all that crap that was out there. And we know how it goes in the NFL. If you really love a player, you say bad things about him in the hopes that he slides down to you. Maybe the Raiders were involved in all this C.J. Stroud is going to stink talk from back in March and April, aimed at getting him to fall. We all knew someone was trying to get him to fall, and
right,
it didn't work when the Texans took him. Maybe that's who they were looking at. I don't know. Here's what Davis said to ESPN last night. I had great hopes for Josh and Dave. It just seemed we were going in the wrong direction. So with the trade deadline, I just felt it was time to make a change, time to make a move. I don't know why the trade deadline had anything to do with it.
Right.
I don't understand that. And this gets back to my point. And I'm not going to do the whole bit again, Chris, but we've been down this road before with guys like Jim Irsay, and here we are with Mark Davis. People who just happen to be in the right place at the right time, with the right DNA to own a football team. No qualifications, not fit, not objectively capable of doing it. And I spent maybe 10 minutes yesterday making the case that if Mark Davis truly loves the Raiders, he should get the hell out of the way. Either sell the team or hire somebody to operate as the owner on his behalf. Because he's the common thread. He's the guy who's hired all these coaches he's eventually fired. And he's the guy who conspired with John Gruden behind Jack Del Rio's back, even though they had the same agent. Still have never figured out how that worked. And if the agent's a lawyer, how's the agent not disbarred for working behind your one client's back to get the other client the job that your first client has? That went down several years ago. Then Rich Bisaccia takes the team to the playoffs. He doesn't get, it seems, fair consideration for the job. He gets thrown overboard. You go out and you make the move for Josh McDaniels, and then you give up on it a season and a half in. You never should have hired him. This isn't should he have been fired. If you weren't willing to be patient with this process, you never should have hired him in the first place. Now, we don't have the benefit of what was going on behind the scenes, and maybe it really was bad behind the scenes. But, you know, between the buyouts and the firings and just this idea, if this team feels lost, ultimately, Davis is the captain of the ship. And one of the reasons it feels lost is because of him. And he's the one that's going to have to make the next hire. So why do we have faith that he's suddenly going to make a great hire when he hasn't made one yet?
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you there. I hear you. It's a tough one. I mean, again, it is the family business. It hasn't gone well for him, right? I mean, it got, you know, he's taken over for his dad, who is beyond a legend of legends when it comes to, you know, NFL hierarchy. So it's not an easy spot there. You know, I think cash flow has been an issue there with keeping players, whatever else, free agents. That's all been issues. And those are things, too, that I would go, you know, that's not necessarily where that's where I'll defend Mark Davis. It's not all on him. You know, had to go deal with a city that, you know, he was in the worst stadium in NFL football. It wasn't even close. And
they moved back. I know. They didn't have to move back there. They could have stayed in L.A.
Oh, well, that was his dad, though, so that wasn't him. He didn't take part in that discussion there, right? And then so, you know, he's stuck there in that spot. That certainly didn't help things out. And, like, let's sugarcoat it. The Oakland Coliseum was not only the worst stadium in the NFL, it would be the worst stadium in any Division I college football team. Like, it's not even – it's a shithole, right? It was the black hole that was a shithole, all right? So that's where it's a little tough, too. Okay, bam, double whammy on a Thursday morning. But, yeah, I think those things worked against him a little bit. I guess that's where I got a little bit of a soft spot in my heart for him there. But, yeah, this is tough. And then the John Gruden situation, hey, it looked like he made the right hire there. You know, we can all say whether we like John Gruden or not, but yeah, John and his
he won 22 out of 53 games.
Well, they were
the
on the way
around
to the playoffs. He got Derek Carr going. That was at least working the right way. You know, it was a team that went to the playoffs. It was headed in. It looked like the right direction,
hey,
except Gruden messed that up.
John Gruden.
So we
John Gruden.
Yeah.
John Gruden wrote Tony Dungy's defense to a championship, and he didn't do jack diddly shit after that.
Well,
his record after 2002 was jack diddly shit.
I'm not going to sit here and
if
tell
we're
you
go
the greatest
S-bombs
thing ever.
Today.
Yeah. But they were headed in a positive direction there. It wasn't perfect. I know that. He had his little schism with Mayock. And, of course, his big mouth got him in trouble with all the things he says behind the scenes and emails anyways. So I guess that's where I'm trying to defend Mark Davis. I understand what you're saying. I totally do, right? I think, though, when you unpack this situation, and as much as I like Josh McDaniels, I think it's very fair to question some of the things that went on. I do. You know, whether it's Garoppolo, like we're talking about, they signed Derek Carr to an extension. That didn't work. The Josh Jacobs, wait, we're not going to give you a fifth-year option, so now you didn't practice, you're not in shape, but now we're going to give you the fifth-year option money to come back and play here, right? There's that. They gave an extension to Darren Waller with big money and got, what, a few games out of him. They gave Hunter Renfro an extension with big money. He can't even see the field or play at all, right? The drafts haven't worked out like you explained. There's no quarterback.
You missed the two most important ones. They go out and make the big trade for Davante Adams.
I was getting there. Yes. Right. Right. Right.
Okay. And they signed Chandler Jones.
I was getting there
Jones
too.
Jones is gone now.
Of course. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
I know. You know. Sorry. Don't cut me off, counselor. I have a list. I wrote it.
Sorry.
I wrote it all down. But yes.
Sorry.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, as much as I am a believer in let the Patriot way work, there's enough things on the checklist here where I can go, damn. I understand the owner making that decision. I don't think it's like, wow, it's that crazy, right? I didn't expect it to happen right now, but I think we've seen crazier is my point. And I guess that's where, you know, it's a tough one. It really is. And I hate to see Josh McDaniels get fired. You know that. But I guess I can see Mark Davis's side of the story a little bit is what I'm saying.
So now Antonio Pierce takes over as the interim head coach with Champ Kelly as the interim GM. They have 9 games minimum. Maybe this time around Mark Davis gives those guys better consideration than he gave to Rich Bisaccia and Mike Mayock after the John Gruden thing went haywire 2 years ago. Here's Pierce from yesterday talking about bringing a new mindset to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
It's never easy when you lose a teammate, a coworker, somebody you're close with. We take that very seriously. There's lives and families that's affected by this, and we understand that. But it's a new day. It's a new chapter. It's a new era. It's a new mindset. I told them when they walk in this door, I need to feel them. They're going to feel me 100%, but I got to feel them. I need that personality. This building needs personality. When we walk in here, everybody in here should be smiling. We all got a job. We're doing something. We're covering the greatest game in the world, the National Football League. And if you're not excited about that, there's something wrong with you.
Was there a lack of excitement before? I mean, being that that's something that needed to be addressed, what was the atmosphere like before?
I don't think that it was not addressed. It just, you got to embrace it. And it's being embraced now.
Antonio Pierce, an interesting choice to take over and have this opportunity. I'm looking at his coaching resume. Now, he played in the NFL for a long time with Washington and the Giants.
Right.
He was a high school head coach at Long Beach Poly from 2014 through 2017. That was his first coaching experience. Arizona State with Herm Edwards as linebackers coach and recruiting coordinator.
Right.
2018, 2019. 2020, he was at Arizona State as associate head coach, co-defensive coordinator, linebackers coach, and recruiting coordinator. And he was caught up in what brought Edwards down.
Yeah.
And I think he may have been the point person in this whole whatever it was that got them afoul of the NCAA bylaws. And his crash landing spot was with the Raiders in 22 as linebackers coach. So his NFL coaching experience is completely confined to being a member of Josh McDaniels' staff. So interesting choice by Mark Davis to make Antonio Pierce the interim head coach when you consider he hasn't coached a lot, he hasn't coached in the NFL for very long at all, and there's this whole Arizona State thing floating around out there that he was involved in that helped bring down Herm Edwards. It really is. It's just one of those things. It's like, okay,
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Mark Davis, you're the owner.
Right.
You can make whoever you want the interim head coach.
Right.
At least it wasn't Jeff Saturday. Let's see what Antonio Pierce does.
Yeah, no, I mean, let's see, right? I mean, first off, Antonio Pierce, you know, knowing him, I played against him a little bit. I mean, he's a real football guy. He really is. He loves it. He lives it. He thinks about it all the time. He played for Joe Gibbs and Greg Williams as a defensive coordinator with that Washington football team. Of course, played for Tom Coughlin and Steve Spagnuolo and all.
So we're going to have bounties? Are we going to have bounties in Las Vegas now?
Well,
Greg,
you know,
Williams. Greg Williams.
I know.
I get mentioning Joe Gibbs. I don't know about mentioning Greg Williams.
Well, Greg Williams was a damn good defensive coordinator. I'm not saying I condone his activities as far as bounty gate, right, and all that. But let's be freaking serious. The whole league was doing bounty gate stuff, all right, as we know. So let's not just, like, you know.
Well, no. The league was doing it wherever Greg Williams was.
Well, you know, yeah, that. And there, right, but, right. There was a path.
I agree.
Right.
I agree. It was a cultural thing.
Yeah, it was a cultural thing, right? Right. So, because I was on a team that kind of played the bounty gate game a little bit there. So it's just the way it was a little. But moving on, either way, he's got
moving
some
along.
Pedigree there, you know. And I do think he embodies, like, the Raider way as far as in your face. I'm going to say it how it is. We're going to have energies. We're not an energy and a badassness about us, right? That didn't necessarily fit Josh McDaniels. He's not that guy. He's the New England guy. It's a little different, you know, way of attacking things there. So I'm excited because I do think Antonio Pierce is a natural born leader. That's what I'm saying there. Now, what do I expect on the field? I don't expect a lot. It's a tough situation, as we know. In my heart of hearts, as much respect as I have for Antonio Pierce, in my heart of hearts, I think this is a move by Mark Davis to go, wait, we're in no man's land. Let's make a hire like this so we get into high draft pick land, okay, and do that, because I don't want to win many games here now. And now we need to do something drastic and get some blue chip star players on this football team and change it over. And I think that's the problem with their team altogether. So, you know, it's, I don't want to say tank, right? Soft tank, whatever, however you want to put it, but I feel like that's part of this hire as well. And I certainly don't say that to be disrespectful to Antonio Pierce, who I have a lot of respect for.
So, wait a minute. On one hand, he's the right choice.
No, I'm not saying he's the right choice. I'm saying there's some things that I like about him and that he's – that, you know, I respect about him. But, yes, like you said, he has no – he doesn't have a deep line of coaching pedigree, and certainly not in the NFL. And it's an off-the-radar hire. He has leadership skills and communication skills that I really do like. But, yeah, if you're going to make me bet, is this going to work, and I think he's the right guy for the future, I would say no. I don't think that's going to happen.
but I see some positives there about him. I was just trying to give you that side of the story. I think in the truth of the matter is, I think it was a move made by Mark Davis to go, wait, I don't want us to do that good, so we're not in no man's land, and we can get a significant game-changing type player in the draft. That would just be where my brain takes me in that thought.
I'm looking at the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Beyond Antonio Pierce. And it's not like there's anybody.
There's not any big time, right?
Out.
Right.
And that's the contrast with Jim Irsay last year when he fired Frank Reich when he shouldn't have and hired Jeff Saturday when he shouldn't have. He had guys like Gus Bradley.
Right.
He had John Fox. There was another former head coach on the staff, right? And I can't remember who it was now. So there were options other than a guy that you would look at and say, why him? But, you know, it's funny. I didn't even focus much on Antonio Pierce yesterday because it was all, what the hell is going on? Why did he fire Josh McDaniels? And thinking about that side of it, I've kind of drifted over to the Pierce side of it today. Again, not a great option internally to take over the team. That's a given. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And if soft tank is the objective, they are 3-5. They aren't horrible.
That's what I mean.
From a losses standpoint, although they were horrible on Monday night.
Yes.
We'll see how they do going forward. Okay, so one of the key things going forward for the new interim head coach, Antonio Pierce, the quarterback position. He was asked for his thoughts on a position that consists of Jimmy Garoppolo, Brian Hoyer, and Aiden O'Connell as the options. Here's Pierce on that subject.
It'll be Aiden going for it.
Why Aiden?
We just feel like this is the best chance.
What was the reaction like in the locker room when you made that announcement?
Very supportive.
The influence Josh had on offense from now until Sunday to kind of get the plan together and what you guys want to do and accomplish.
Yeah, I started this press conference by saying it. New day, new month, new chapter. New mindset. So whatever we did in the past, doesn't matter. You know, I wish I could say we're 0-0. We're not. But we're approaching it that way. We're approaching the way Bo went in there today, the offense. I spoke with those gentlemen. They know exactly the task and the plan going forward and what kind of offense we want to portray. And, you know, are you going to sit there and rip up the whole playbook? No. But you better go to your key guys. I'm not a fool. I'm a player. Remember, I was a player before I was a coach. Player ran business.
And look, that's one of the problems we've seen with the Raiders this year. You have a guy like Davante Adams. Why isn't the scheme getting him the ball more often? And we've seen an effort in recent weeks to get him the ball more often. There's just been a disconnect between him and quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. So Garoppolo goes to the bench. Aiden O'Connell takes over. And that would cut against the idea that they're not trying. Because if you're not trying, you ride with Jimmy. Because the belief is Aiden O'Connell's the best quarterback they have right now. Based on what we saw Monday night, hard to argue that Jimmy Garoppolo is their best option.
No, I think, you know, there's that, right? I think, you know, they're probably looking at it too, going, yeah, we know Jimmy Garoppolo's played more, but they're probably going, he's playing like crap anyways. I mean, so what? Aiden O'Connell might miss Davante Adams wide open, but at least Aiden O'Connell might, you know, might have a chance to be the future. He's got a little fire and toughness about him, right? I think that's the other thing that, you know, and how Antonio Pierce said it, or they were happy, they were ecstatic about it when he said it. You know, what does Jimmy Garoppolo bring to the table, right? What is he? He's not leading your football team. You don't see him ever get on anybody. You don't ever see any reaction or energy from him at all. Right? So for a team that's kind of like struggling and kind of instill some culture, they're going, wait, we're going to go with a guy who's willing to stand in there and, you know, mother F himself, and he wants to do good and he wants to compete and he's still proving himself, compared to a guy that looks like, I play quarterback and I got a big check and whatever else, but, you know, I'm not going to go above and beyond and work too hard here to be too good at it. I mean, that's kind of the optics of the situation. With that there. So I can understand them wanting to go that way. I can. But, yeah, I still think it's, you know, to what we're talking about, a little bit of a soft tank there either way. And, wait, well, Mike, the most important thing the most important thing, and where I got sidetracked there, is like a Mike Florio point of all time. Like, come on, counselor. They don't want him getting hurt. This is Jimmy Glass Garoppolo. Well, and they can.
Right, but you know what?
Yeah.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I went back last night.
And they can get out of it?
He had the initial contract.
Yeah.
Now, here's how it works. The initial contract that they agreed to before he failed the physical.
Right.
Had $11.25 million in injury guaranteed salary for next year, plus an $11.25 million fully guaranteed roster bonus for next year. Okay?
Yep.
So, under the original contract as it was negotiated, there's 11.25 million reasons to keep him from getting injured over the balance of the year.
Yep.
When they redid the contract, what they did was they made the base salary next year fully guaranteed. They made the roster bonus due next year non-guaranteed. So there's no longer a reason to keep him healthy.
Gotcha.
They owe him the salary. They were going to owe him $11.25 million next year anyway under either of the two contracts. Now the way it works is the salary's guaranteed. They'll get offset, but no one's paying him $11.25 million. But they'll avoid the roster bonus simply by cutting him. And I asked somebody late last night, and I got the answer this morning.
Cool,
if he's injured, when the roster bonus is due, they can still cut him because it's not injury guaranteed.
Gotcha.
They can cut him before the roster bonus comes due. So they'll avoid the $11.25 million, whether they keep him or whether they get rid of him. But the broader question is this. Do you want him around? Like, once you've decided he's not the guy, do you just go with O'Connell and Hoyer and tell Jimmy Garoppolo, see you later? We're just going to put you on waivers. No one's going to claim the contract. And then the question is, will somebody sign him as a free agent? And the Raiders will get dollar-for-dollar credit over what they're going to pay him anyway. If he's sitting there on the bench, they'll get some of that money back if he goes and plays somewhere else as a backup quarterback to finish out this year and next year.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would expect no, right? With Brian Hoyer being the only other option there and the way he looked playing, like that's a complete disaster. I don't think you can even sell that to your team that you're trying to win football games competitively if you throw him back out there. I think they'll keep Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, they'll keep him as the backup. That's what I would imagine happening. And you know, we'll see where this goes. This ain't going to be easy, right? You know, like you brought up too, like with the Davante Adams thing. It's not like this coaching staff that just got fired forgot how to throw the ball to Davante Adams. You know, they know how to give him the ball. It's just there's nothing else in the offense to get everybody off of Davante Adams for the most part. And when they do get him open, Garoppolo hasn't been good enough to hit him or find him or do whatever there. So it's like a double whammy. You know, at least last year they had the number one running attack in football or the number one running back in football. And they could play the running game off of Davante Adams and vice versa. And that worked. This year there's just nothing. So that's where they're really in a tough spot. But, yeah, if I was the Raiders, I wouldn't cut him and let him out of there. I would go, whoa, you're the guy that duped us and kind of lied to us about your foot, and now we've paid you a lot of money. You're not getting out of here. You're going to enjoy the struggle with the rest of us. That's what I would do if I were the Raiders.
Yeah, and it's not like it's not like he's going to be a pain in the butt.
Right.
He's just going to kind of be there. He's a bump on a log, not a pain on the butt. Right.
Yes.
That's what it'll be.
I don't think he's that kind of guy.
Happily cash the checks. He's not going to cause trouble. Fine. That's fine. He went through this in San Francisco.
Yes.
When he was basically excommunicated while still on the roster, and he was fine with it. He's not a guy that is into confrontation. He's never been that way. So he'll be fine. He won't be an issue, and maybe they'll need him to play a couple of games at the end of the season
based upon
how things go with the other guys on the roster. All right. One of the strange issues coming out of the NFL this past weekend, there have been multiple strange issues with the Falcons lately. We had that weird Bijan Robinson. He was ill, and they didn't tell anybody.
Yep.
Then on Sunday, in their loss to the Titans, Desmond Ridder leaves for a concussion evaluation. He's cleared, but they don't put him back in the game. Arthur Smith, the head coach of the team, said, well, something seemed off, but it wasn't performance-related, so we didn't bench him for that reason. And you know, it opened the door for Ridder to get the start this weekend against the Vikings. Here's Arthur Smith yesterday explaining that the quarterback this week will indeed be Taylor Heinicke. Have a listen.
So, you know, just for this week, you know, just with all the variables, you know, just kind of consider everything the last 72 hours and what we feel is good, best for this week for us, you know, against Minnesota. Taylor will play this week. Yeah, there's a lot of variables, you know, and then really just, like I said, considering the last 72 hours and just kind of where we're at right now going into this week in Minnesota, getting ready to play the Vikings, obviously a really good team coming in here, is going with Taylor. And that's why he's here right now. And, you know, obviously did a lot of – Dez went through all those tests. He's clear. He'll be available, but just right now in the short term, it'll be Taylor this Sunday.
But I guess didn't you see – or what did you not see?
Those were private conversations. And I understand, Mike. I mean, those are legitimate questions. I'm just, you know, keeping our internal – decision making and, you know, private.
So, just to be clear, so is this a medical? Is this a medical decision then with this, or is this a?
This is what I answered about the lot of variables. My answer is not going to change. There's a lot of variables that go into it.
He was doing his best to keep his hands attached to something so he wouldn't have any tells as he was saying this week, this week, this week, over and over again, this week, this week, this week, and all the variables were the factors. This is the softest benching that he could possibly do of Desmond Ridder. I think that's what this is. This isn't a benching, but it is a benching. But it's not a benching because we don't want to hurt this guy's confidence, and we want to be able to go back to him whenever we would like to go back to him. Because the thing about Taylor Heinicke, he will come in hair on fire.
That's right.
And he will play with reckless abandon, and he will give the Falcons a great chance to win some games, and then that fire is going to go out at some point, and that's when you put Desmond Ridder back in, and you got to sell this whole 1 week at a time, this game, this week, all the variables, this week, and that's what they're doing for now. And if they would win on Sunday, it's going to be a different story for their next game.
That's right.
And it'll be that game, that game, that game. So they're trying to not abandon Desmond Ridder, but also win football games this year. And it's a tough needle to thread, as evidenced by Arthur Smith's clumsy effort to thread it.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I think it's the right decision, though, right? We've been talking about this for maybe 3 or 4 weeks, just about Desmond Ridder. You know, I like the kid. I understand what they like about him. There's some physical tools to like, you know, and I think they like the human himself and think he can lead a football team and be their kind of quarterback. He's not there yet. That doesn't mean this is all over for Desmond Ridder. And, you know, like we talked about, like if this ruins him, then you know he ain't your quarterback in the future, right? You know, and they're going to be delicate with him. They understand it's still a young kid who's dealing with a lot, and there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders and people talking crap about you on the nightly news and social media and whatever else there, right? So, yeah, I think they do want to make sure that Desmond Ridder understands that, you know, he's still valued by this organization and by the coaching staff. But at the same time, I give them credit for making the move, right? There's just things about the way Desmond Ridder has played that, you know, the game at moments has looked like he's a deer in the headlights a little. Like where you've heard me say in previous weeks, there's been some throws and decisions where you go, that's not, and you've heard me during in the viewing rooms on Sundays a few times, you know, with other guys that played in the NFL and Jason Garrett, who, you know, backed me up. So it's not just me, loudmouth, whatever, but like decisions where you go like, whoa, like that's a mistake you make as a freshman in college right there. You didn't see that that was cover two and you tried to throw a hitch route into it or whatever. So I think there was some things there that would make any coaching staff go, ugh. Now they're trying to give it a soft landing, like you're saying. But to me, this is setting up where they want Heinicke to take over. They're going to be delicate with Ridder, but, you know, you're making the switch this week against Minnesota. We'll see how it goes, right? They're playing better on defense. The next week is the Arizona Cardinals, right? Should be able to win that game. Should be able to win both games. And then you go into the bye week. That looks like you're setting it up for, hey, we want this guy to take over and give us a strong second half finish to this season because we think we're a playoff team with a little bit better quarterback play.
There's going to be a lot of Arthur Smith twisting himself in knots, yes, though, to keep this going.
Yeah.
This ruse isn't going to last for long if they start winning with Heinicke, because you can't say, if you're Desmond Ridder, at some point, it's like, don't put this idea on me that I got a concussion evaluation, and even though I was cleared, I've got some lingering issue that is one of the variables that keeps me from playing. I'm fine. I'm ready. Like, at some point, just call it what it is. Why are you treating me with kid gloves? I go back to your point, and we've made this in the past about other quarterbacks.
Right.
If you're going to crumble because you got benched, if you're going to shatter in the face of adversity that comes up between the months of August and December, good luck thriving in January, ever. I mean, that's the thing
that's right.
that wakes up the giant within
right.
a quarterback.
Right.
An indignity. You know, something that pushes a guy to the next level, that makes him pissed off. Not go roll up in a ball and say, woe is me, and I'm going to have to go do something else with my life now. So, yeah, you can't tiptoe around the situation. And because this isn't, you know, if it was a different injury, they could say he'll play when he's 100%. And then he's just not 100% until Taylor Heinicke is not, you know, playing well.
Right.
You can't really do the 100% thing when you're talking about somebody's neurological condition. It's not fair to the player. It stigmatizes him in a way that I think is not useful or helpful. And you just can't. I just think it's hard. When the guy's being cleared, I think it's hard to keep this, well, we're a little concerned. It's in his best interest to not play. If they win the next two and they go into the bye week,
right.
that's when they need to come out and say, we're casting our lot
exactly.
with Taylor Heinicke until further notice.
That's right.
And he's no stranger to getting benched.
Right.
He's been benched before.
Right.
He doesn't care. He'll go play his ass off until it's time to go take a seat.
That's right, Mike. And you said it a few minutes ago. He's a guy that'll win some games and play with his hair on fire and do some things. But as we know, too, he'll lose some games, too, if we look at his history. And he'll do some crazy stuff and throw the ball to the other team right in their chest a bunch of times in a game. Right? So that's where I say to Desmond Ridder, yeah, be ready, big guy. Don't let this get you down. You know, this is a common story in the NFL, even for the legends of the sport. Go back and look up Terry Bradshaw and how the start of his career worked. Hey, my own father, he got benched multiple times in his career. If Joe Montana can get benched after winning two Super Bowls, anybody can get freaking benched. John Elway got benched for Nick Maddox. I mean, we can go. Troy Aikman couldn't get on the field at first because of Tommy Maddox, excuse me. Yeah. Troy Aikman.
Who the hell is Nick Maddox?
I don't know. You know what? I think he was a great running back when I was coming out in high school, actually. That was a top recruit. But either way, yeah, Troy Aikman couldn't get on the field because of Steve Walsh at first. So hang in there. This story's not over, and Heinicke's not that good to where you go, oh, he's definitely going to solidify his job as a starter the whole year. You know, there might be a moment. He's a smaller quarterback. Like you said, he plays a dangerous game. He could get hurt. He could throw a few interceptions. You need to come back in and be ready to go when that time comes, Desmond Ridder. So we'll see where this goes with this Atlanta Falcons football team.
And it was Steve Berline, by the way, that kept Troy Aikman off the field. Steve Walsh was the guy that they used a supplemental first-round draft pick on when they had Troy Aikman as the first overall pick.
Right.
And Jimmy Johnson had an issue, obviously, arise.
So it was Berline and then a little Walsh, too, though, right? Am I getting my facts mixed up there?
Berline was the starter in 89 at first.
At first.
I don't know how much they played Walsh in 89. At
no,
some point,
but then
it was Aikman taking his lumps.
The year they went to the playoffs, right, in 91 and they beat the Bears, I'm pretty sure, and they lost to the Lions, I'm pretty sure that was Steve Walsh. Was the starting quarterback in 91, right?
I thought he was with the Saints by then. Steve Walsh was traded in 1990 to the Saints.
Okay.
So he would not have been the
Good
quarterback.
Good job. Way to go.
In 91. However,
yeah.
however,
okay.
however, he did start five games in 89.
Okay.
Which is that I don't remember that. Maybe I was so caught up in the Herschel Walker trade aftermath that I didn't realize
I thought
he started five games, but
yeah.
Steve, they had too many Steves that year in Dallas. So you were right. I'm sorry. You were wrong about Nick Maddox. You were right about Steve
Thank
Walsh.
You. Thank
You're
you.
Batting 500, which in baseball is great. So congratulations for that. And by the way, Nick Maddox was a Major League Baseball player according to Pete. But I don't think this is the Nick Maddox you were
thinking
of.
No, I wasn't thinking of him.
Because he was a right-handed pitcher for the Pirates from 1907 through 1910.
I had Greg Maddox on my mind, which I know is the Hall of Fame pitcher. I was like, it's one of these damn Maddox guys. I couldn't quite figure it out.
All right, here's Taylor Heinicke from yesterday. Since he's the starter, he's the one that spoke to reporters regarding how Desmond Ridder responded to the fact that he won't be playing this week.
Yeah, it's tough. It is. You know, there's no kind of beating around the bush there. Again, I've kind of went through this last year with Carson. And then the difference between Carson and Desmond is Carson has been in the league for a long time. This is kind of new for Des. So, you know, he's handled it very well. You know, he's speaking up in meetings. He's very engaged. He's helping me out any way I can. So to see that from a young guy, that's really cool. Just speaks to his character and stuff. So, you know, again, we're still pushing each other. He's preparing like he's going to play. God forbid he might. So we'll see. But Des has done a great job today to, you know, hearing the news and coming to work.
Yeah, I mean, what else is he going to do? What else is he going to do? He's got to come to work, get to work, and keep focusing on his development. By the way, there were no Steve Berline starts in 1989. It was 5 from Walsh and 11 from Aikman.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Bravo.
Thank you.
They did have a lot of Steves back then. They had Steve Pelor, Steve Berline.
Right.
There's a lot of Steves playing quarterback for the Cowboys in the late 80s and early 90s. So, oh well. No Steves playing quarterback for the Falcons. Taylor Heinicke, Desmond Ridder on the bench, and we'll see. And look, you're right about Heinicke. I remember the Washington-Minnesota game last year when, you know, Heinicke had them in position to win the game. But there were two or three throws that were like, what the hell was that?
Right.
And it should have been intercepted. And I don't know whether the defender was just surprised that he threw it, but there's one of those near misses, multiple of those near misses every game from Taylor Heinicke, and he seems to get lucky a lot.
He does.
Or his numbers would be a lot worse, right, and maybe he wouldn't keep getting these chances.
I know. You're right. He is one of those guys that I think a lot of times last year I was like, he's got the biggest horseshoe up his butt that I've ever seen, right? I mean, he really does. He was leading the league, I think, in dropped interceptions last year. So, yeah, he's crazy. He's fun to watch. You know, he is. That's why he's fun. He'll go three quarters and you'll go, damn, he stinks for three quarters. And all of a sudden they need two drives at the end of the game. And you go, who the hell is this guy? All of a sudden he's on target and making great decisions and making plays and they pull out the game. Right. So that's where it'll be fun to watch. And I give Arthur Smith and company, you know, credit here. I do. You know, again, do not double down and be so stubborn in the fact of like, hey, wait, we think Desmond Ridder's the guy, so we're going to just ride him no matter what here, and we're going to prove everybody wrong. Right? This is okay. This is okay to do this for the better of your football team, and really in the end, it might be for the better of Desmond Ridder and his career too. He gets a chance to step back. He's going to look at it from the sidelines. I've been in this situation before, and you sit there a little bit in these times and you go, why was I making it so complicated? Like, there's a curl, there's a flat route. Just whatever way the defender goes, throw it to the other freaking guy. I mean, you know, as a quarterback, you can get in your own mind with more information and overthink and overanalyze, and maybe this can calm his brain down a little bit as he sits and watches a little.
And Pete reminded me that Taylor Heinicke brought us the moment last year in that Washington Vikings game where the defensive back – for the Vikings, was taken out by an official.
Hit the referee,
set
right?
Set up a long touchdown pass. So horseshoes up the butt all over the place for Heinicke, but that last year was the year that the Vikings had the endless supply of horseshoes. They ended up winning that game, along with many others that they should have lost, but somehow found a way to win. And as to what you're saying with Ridder, I agree completely. I just really don't like this. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Almost right on cue. Down goes... That's Cam Bynum got took out there by the official, and there's the touchdown, Curtis Samuel, and it felt like Washington was going to win that game. I just wish they would be a little more straight with us.
I hear you.
I like Arthur Smith. I don't like the version of Arthur Smith that is a clunky, clumsy, not teller of the truth, because it's obvious what's going on. Why not just say what's going on? I think that's better than standing up there and creating the impression for people like us that he's really not being straight with us. Why don't you just be straight with us? I think it would be better for everyone, including Desmond Ridder, if you just be straight with us. Treat him like an adult, not like a little kid. You're not trying to protect him from anything. Tell it like it is. Say what it is, and it's okay. To your point, if he's not going to react well to that and thrive, he's just not suited for this business.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know what the reasoning is. You know, the only thing I can kind of come to a conclusion there on that, and why you would kind of give that kind of soft, waffling answer on there, is just that maybe they're just going, hey, we want Heinicke to prove it, right? He's got to prove it. If he can play good the next 2 weeks, then he'll have it, and he'll come out and say it, you know. But maybe he's trying to kind of light a fire under Heinicke here so he knows, like, hey, this isn't yours, like, for the rest of the year guaranteed. You're going to have to play well and take care of the football and do things the way we expect you to do them. So maybe there's a little bit of that gamesmanship, psychology, whatever, with Heinicke as well. That would be the only thing, other thing I could think of there.
We are going to have a full preview of the Thursday night game that begins week 9, Titans at the Steelers, later in the program. We're going to take a break, though. When we return, Aaron Rodgers' new team might have taken a page out of his old team's playbook. We'll tell you what that means when PFT Live continues right after this.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clear skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.